Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
So voicemails got played in court on day 10 of the trial of Karen Reed. You know, those, honey, I'm worried about you. I don't know. You haven't come home yet. I don't know where you are. I'm here with the kids and I'm keeping them safe. Don't worry. I know, we're just all worried. Please, you know, please let me know where you're at. Please. I love you. Oh, wait.
That was not accurate, Tony. There was nothing about that that was factual. That was what should have happened. That's what a quote unquote normal relationship participant would do when your loved one is now MIA after a night of drinking.
And of course, the second call, John, we're really getting more worried. I'm just, I have these thoughts going through my head. Like I hope you're okay. Please just let me know, John. I love you.
Nope.
You're a fucking pervert. You're sleeping with somebody else. Your fucking kids are here. I'm going to leave them alone.
I'm paraphrasing in dance.
It's fucking traumatizing. I'm just going to say that because I think as a woman, I think we have that woman inside of us. And sometimes we get pissed and we suppress her. Like, no, don't act like that. That's not appropriate. Well, Karen let her freak flag fly. She's just like all in. I'm going to be nuts. I'm going to be crazy. Look at me go. But I'm serious. I think a lot of women could be provoked to this point. But my goodness, she went from 0 to 60 in like a millisecond.
John was not the one provoking this, though. I mean, if he was literally always fucking the neighbors and you knew about it, and then you really suspected that he just wanted to go over here so he could screw one of the other neighbors. Mm-hmm. You got a story there. But he wasn't.
No, he was dead out in the front yard almost.
And none of that was remotely reality. But she treated it like it was.
Yeah.
I've been through that before, too. It's fun. Let me tell you, these are just dandy people.
It's hard to reason with them, isn't it?
You can't. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. Yeah. I had one situation once where we were out at the mall, and I get a call from a number I don't know, but it's a local number, and it's a female neighbor saying, "Hey, I think your dogs are out. I got them over here," and I'm like, "Well, I'm pretty, like, we're very vigilant about that. They don't like live in the backyard or anything. So like, unless someone else let them out and I didn't know about it." And she sends a picture and it's just one of the dogs is ours.
Okay. Is this during one relationship that I knew about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, okay, well, thank you. I'm going to run back over there. We're not that far. So
nice neighborly thing to do.
Yeah. Really appreciate it. Thank you. The reaction I get, how did that woman get your number? Like, it's a neighbor. I don't know. Like, I know like some neighbors have my number, like, and I know like it's in like the directory or whatever. And then it goes nothing to what, oh, Is it one of your girlfriends? Because I was always, I was being accused left and right of like, I'm sleeping with all the neighbors, which is like, I didn't even know the neighbors.
Oh my God.
It was like, I didn't go for walks because I was afraid I was going to get accused of something. There'd be like a woman would like go walk by the house. Like people walk in this neighborhood. A woman would walk by the house, just like exercising. And, yeah. And she would be like, oh, that's the one that looks at you. What the fuck?
Well, and didn't this person have you set up an office for her?
And that's in this beautiful area of the house. And you,
and
can,
you could see out into the front.
All sunlight. I mean, it's like, it was a lovely area. She'd like literally stopped going in there because she was so intimidated by these, by women walking by. I mean, it's insane. It's literally insane. And I never cheated. I never did anything. I just not, that's not me. It's, I never,
it's not you.
And I don't flirt with other people. I don't stare at women and I don't, I'm very respectful when I'm with my person, you're my person. And I could do nothing more than show that. And
Tony's telling the truth. I've known you for over 20 years. Yeah. This is exactly who you are. This isn't bullshit. This is truly how you are.
So we're at the mall and we have to like walk to the car because it's about, you know, a little ways down. And the whole time just huffing and puffing and how did she get your number? How, like, I don't know. Why don't you know? Like, because I don't know. Like, so we literally, I said, how about we call her back and ask how she got my number? So we did.
Oh my God. So did you initiate that phone call?
Yeah. I said, hey, this is Tony. You know, we just talked about the dog. Yeah. My girlfriend here, she just had a question, but we were just curious where you got my number from, because I don't know, is it in a directory? I just wanted to know where it came from. I played it down.
Yeah.
And
yeah. It's not my crazy girlfriend going, where'd you get the number?
Because she's paranoid as shit that I might be having sex with you. And I don't even know who you are or where you live or anything about you. Then that's like, oh, well, I got it from like the HOA guy or something. And, okay. So we just went into like 5 minutes of sheer, I think you're cheating on me. So you must be cheating on me. And it must be with the person who called about the dogs. And you know who left the dog out?
Oh, shut up. She did?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And then it was just a, okay, well, I'm sorry. Nothing.
No responsibility.
None.
No accountability.
I tell you.
No apology.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's not a real apology.
It was brought up like later.
You know what? I'm so sorry.
It was brought up later too. And it's like, well, I already said I'm sorry. So it should be done. Because that's a narcissistic wound. If they are wrong, if they get caught in something that they think they're just dead right on, and it's like the polar opposite, can't touch it. It's kryptonite. And that's why they can just kind of deflect and move other ways. And that's why people like that too, if they are like accusing you of all sorts of random shit that you are not doing. I mean, it could be one of two things. They're just insanely insecure, or they're insanely insecure and they're thinking about doing that a lot, or are actively doing that.
Wow.
So, good times, everybody. That's why when I see this case, I'm just like, gah!
You know, it's one thing if you're being given, you know, if you were lying to her and she caught you in these lies, and then you see text messages from a woman, and you're like, okay, so I caught you lying about this specific woman, and now she's texting you at really weird times, and I can see that.
Oh, we had one where one messaged me on Facebook about something from the HOA meeting, which was actually because she was a concerned parent and I was too. And she was not, she didn't know who she was because there was a registered sexual offender near the neighborhood. And we were just trying to figure out where this was exactly. And that was the discussion. And that was another, why is she messaging you? And it's like, I would read the message directly to her too. And that, it was great. It was a grand time, everybody. It was a grand time.
Oh, it was anything but grand. I remember it well. It was
the word, borderline or narcissist. Like, oh, I was diagnosed with this. Run for your frickin' life.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are not diagnosed. Anyway, reminds me of Karen Reed a bit, you know, but I don't know what the hell she is. So let's go to this. We're going to listen to the voicemails quickly. Before we do that, though, there's a lot of, you know, there's always been talk about the arm, John O'Keefe's arm, and the injury. What is it? Was it a dog? Was it, you know, for the fight in the house? Was it, what was it? What was it? And if you watched the earlier episode, you already saw us talk about this, but I want to touch on it briefly in case you haven't. Was it that?
I no longer believe it was a dog. I can tell you that. Had the revelation in our last segment.
Yeah. So was it a dog or was it Karen's arm? Karen's hand.
Karen's hand.
Karen's hand. Because it sure kind of looks like a hand. Like
an angry slice of some sharp nails.
Holding tightly. And so I ran this scenario through my mind. I don't know. Again, just a theory. You know, they're sitting there. They're arguing. You got to figure out where they're sitting in the car, too. And if she's here in the driver's seat and they both start facing each other and he's like, I'm going to go. No, you're not. Right there. And probably for a little bit talking, he breaks free, gets out of the car, starts walking towards the house.
She's mad.
She throws it in reverse. And one more thing. Probably it's more like, and one more thing, John. And this is where it's, did she know she hit him? If she hit him. And in this scenario, we're assuming she did. So he could be down here and kind of in a blind spot. But remember, she sat there for 10 minutes too, with the music blaring. Maybe she, that's probably true, because she was outside that house for a while. So John literally could have just been sitting there dying. And she would have been none the wiser. But then she also said today, or she said in an interview that was revealed when they came back, that's, you know, some of the effect of, well, that's where I last saw him, was on the left side of the yard by the flagpole. That's where I last saw him.
That's a problem.
So what did you see? Did you just see him get out of the car and then you threw it in reverse and then you hit him and didn't know it, and he's down there? And so the last time you actually did see him was right when he got out of the car. And then you're, I mean, keep in mind, she's at like a 0.2 something BAC.
Right, right. She is blitzed, man.
And then you are like, where the hell's John? Maybe you got in already. You know, one of those little time gaps that sometimes you can get if you're really, really drunk and you're like, shit, like, what happened to that time? Yeah. I could see that. And she just thinks, well, how'd he get in the house? I'm going to wait. And literally, like, thinks he got in the house, even though she never saw him get in the house. Because she's already said she saw him over there.
Yeah.
Can't be both. And it's probably neither. I mean,
that's a good point.
I don't know that the last, because again, you're not getting the real story here. I would, if I were to guess, the last time she saw him was looking out the window, and there he is. That's in the general vicinity.
Yep.
And then he gets up, stumbles a bit, and lands where he lands. Or he was propelled by the vehicle, which is pretty extreme, but you're talking 24 miles an hour or something in reverse.
And it's a big vehicle, very high profile.
Have you ever gone above 10 in reverse?
Not unless I'm trying to get out of my driveway in my Mini Cooper and there's a foot of snow.
Well, but you're not really going that speed though, then. You're
no.
You're just gunning it. Yeah. No, that 25 in reverse is pretty fast in reverse. Yeah. And I believe the vehicle data shows a 75% press down on the pedal.
Ooh. That's substantial, especially in shitty weather.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, gets out of her grip, gets out of the car. She's pissed. He's walking. Reverse. Boom. And she somehow, really by her own words and her actions, seems to have some recollection of something happening to John O'Keefe and leaving.
Wait, did I clip him? Did I hit him in the knee? Well, did I run over his foot?
And here's why I say, I wonder if neither is true. That the last thing she saw was not him by the flagpole, but in the general vicinity, which is kind of true. Mm-hmm. And she clearly didn't see him go in the house. So, afraid he got hit by a snowplow? Well, where the fuck would he have to be to get hit by a snowplow? In the road.
Yeah, that snowplow is not up on the lawn by the flagpole.
So if he's up there on the lawn, I don't think she saw him on the lawn. I think he stumbled there. I think he was at the edge of that vehicle or behind that vehicle. And I think she knew that. She looked out and again, freaked out. Freaked out because, oh my God, I'm going to be responsible for killing the guy everybody loves. How do I want people to think of me? Well, certainly not like that.
Yeah.
And then that's how the 7-year-old thinks and you run away. It's not that hard. Wow. I don't know. That's my take. I have no idea other than just putting the puzzle pieces together with what the physical actions were. And if we're to try and interpret the mental actions of what was going on, but you're here to listen to voicemails. So let that shit show begin. Let me get the camera over to there. And by the way, if you're listening to us, on any sort of podcast platform, hey, hit subscribe there. We do greatly appreciate that. But also do check out our YouTube channel where you can watch all of this and see all the clips and all of the stuff that that we're talking about.
Hey, Tony, tell our listeners where they can find it on YouTube. What are they looking for?
Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Brewski.
Oh, smart aleck.
That's... I can sound it out. Hidden.
Oh, stop killer. It. I think that's the radio gal in me coming out that just remind people where they can find you.
You're good. Yeah, because I don't do that. I'm like, they can figure it out.
Well, most can, but there might be some going, oh, I don't know where to look. And that's okay. You just, I know.
That's where my patience gets low. And I should have more of that where it's like, I should explain more of this.
Well, I will remind you. Yeah. That'll be my role.
I over-explain on things that don't need over-explaining, and I under-explain on things that do need explaining.
That's okay.
So, okay.
That's okay.
Here we go. This is voicemail land.
I'm Trooper Nicholas Guarino, G-U-A-R-I-N-O.
You would explain what an extraction report is.
Yes, it's the information in the cell phones. We can create PDFs or portable cases from information, whatever is specified.
An extraction report, can it be general or more narrow?
Yes, it can be.
I want to introduce a few more extraction reports that we didn't get to last time.
Okay.
In this case, did you use Mr. O'Keefe's phone to create an extraction report that included all of his calls from the 28th and the 29th of January 2022?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Can you document? Do you recognize that document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's John O'Keefe's call logs from everyone from the 29th to the 28th. Thank
you. I move this into evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Did you create an extraction report that included a text message between the defendant and Jennifer McCabe?
Yes, I did.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
And in your document, do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us what that is?
Yes, it's the text chain from the defendant to Jen McCabe.
I move this into evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Exhibit 66. Yes. One moment. Thank you. With the court's permission, could Mr. Guarino read this to the jury?
Okay.
Let's hear what they have to say.
Could you kindly read that and explain it to the jury?
With the all the information on it?
Yes.
Okay. This is from the defendant to Jen McCabe, 7:26:52 a.m. on the 29th. Says, can you send me Carrie's number?
Thank you. Did you further create an extraction?
Sorry, Mr. Brennan. In terms of that reading of the document, you just have a check. Sorry,
no problem.
They're doing the silent dance right now. Just
yeah,
the
they are. And sometimes they're not on top of the microphones either. It's annoying.
Do you see who that's from and who it's to?
I'm sorry, Ms. It's from Jen McCabe to the defendant.
And what does it say?
Can you send me Carrie's number?
What time and date?
That is 7:26:52 a.m. on April 29th, 2022.
Thank you. Did you do a further extraction report from John O'Keefe's phone with text messages between him and a person named Kaylee?
Yes, I did.
May I approach?
Yes.
You recognize that?
Yes.
What is it?
It's the text chain between John O'Keefe and Kaylee.
The date?
It goes... Sorry, it's kind of faded. January 28th, 2022 to January 29th, 2022.
Thank you. I'd move this into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
They're back to silent dancing again.
Yes, they are.
The headphones on.
Trooper Guarino, we're done with extraction reports.
Okay.
Did you have an opportunity to obtain phone messages,
here we go,
phone calls, and text messages between the defendant and Mr. O'Keefe?
Ruh-roh.
Somebody got attacked by a
coyote. Thank you, Your Honor. Trooper Guarino, did you have an opportunity to obtain phone calls, voice messages, and text messages from the defendant to Mr. O'Keefe's phone on the evening of January 29th, 2022?
Yes, I was.
Where did you get the phone call records from?
From John O'Keefe's phone.
Where did you get the voicemails from?
Also from John O'Keefe's phone.
Where did you get the text messages from?
From John O'Keefe's phone.
Did you have an opportunity to take those phone calls, the voice messages, and the text messages and put them in a chronological order?
Yes, I did.
Did you include all of the phone calls, all the text messages, and all of the voicemails?
Between John O'Keefe and the defendant, yes.
Did you create a PowerPoint to put them in a chronological order?
Yes.
May I approach you?
Yes. Show Mr. Alessi.
Sorry.
We're
showing
about
you a
to
Bible,
hear.
Sir. Could you open it up? Tell us what this is.
Yes, this is the phone calls and text messages between the defendant and John O'Keefe, as well as the voicemails. Well,
is there a package in the front of that binder?
Yes, there is.
And what is that package?
An Amazon gift card.
It says defendant's right. Voicemails and on 129-2022. The USB thumb drive that should have those files on.
Your Honor, I move this binder as the next exhibit. It would include both the PowerPoint presentation as well as a clip of the phone calls.
No objection, Your Honor.
Should, yes. Do you need the thumb drives?
I don't.
Okay.
On cross, it'll be, where did you get that thumb drive?
Yeah.
68. Thank you.
Was it a spooky man hiding in the shadows that gives out thumb drives? Come here, kids. I have thumb drives.
With the court's permission, I would ask that Trooper Greeno take us through the PowerPoint presentation.
Yes.
Thank you.
And now, our feature presentation.
No, this is what we've been waiting for.
Please.
So this is the phone calls on the 29th. So at 12:33, 35 a.m., the defendant calls John. That phone call is not answered. 12:34, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:34, 38 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:35, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 12:35, 35, the defendant calls John. It's not answered.
This is just nonstop.
12:36, 09 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered.
Trooper Greeno, let me stop you there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look into any internet connection between the defendant's phone and the router and the internet connection at Meadows Ave, John O'Keefe's home that night?
Yes. At 12:36:39 a.m., the defendant's phone auto-connects to the Wi-Fi HatsFam 123.
Are you familiar with the router at Mr. O'Keefe's home?
I have not done a look at it in person, but that's the no network that's listed under it. There's two, HatsFam 123 and O'Keefe 74.
Did you learn the range that a connection must be in order to connect to his router?
Yes, so depending on the router, it's either a 2.4 gigahertz or 5 gigahertz radio band or signal band, I should say. Depending on which one it's connecting to, which band, it's either 150 foot indoor range or up to 300 feet outdoor. So again, when you pull into your home, sometimes you can still be connected to your home Wi-Fi in the driveway.
And again, can you give us the time of the connection between the defendant's phone and Mr. O'Keefe's router at Meadows Ave that night?
Yes, 12:36:39 a.m.
Please continue.
At 12:36:40 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 12:37:08 a.m., the defendant calls John, and voicemail number one is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman, would you kindly play the voicemail for 12:37:08?
There we go. I'm gonna pause for a second.
Okay.
Why does she hate him? Is it that's rage, and it's rage, and I don't think it's rage because she thinks that he's sleeping with somebody else. Although that she lets that fly a bit, but I think okay. It's more like rage because he being in that wrong spot at that wrong time is what is going, he's at fault in her mind. He's at fault for her being in this situation.
Because
if he wouldn't have been there,
right,
none of this would have happened. John, I fucking hate you. What? Because she's fearing what's going to happen. Like, what is going to happen to me? Is he going to, are they going to blame this on me? Is it, they're just going to think, you know, he got out of the car and fell, you know, something happened, but it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to start playing the Shaggy song right now. It wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Yeah. Hit reverse and I hit you red handed.
Yeah.
I got to figure out the lyrics to that. Thought. It's just a thought. That's just conjecture.
Probably very real.
Yeah, should be 12:38, 26 a.m. The defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:39, 03 a.m. The defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:39, 37 a.m. The defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:40, 43 a.m. The defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 12:41, 35 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number two is left. Some beeping noises, appears to be a butt dial or accidental call.
Ms. Gilman, could you play the voice message at 12:41, 35?
Comes. Maybe.
Yeah. The defendant then texts John O'Keefe at 12:55, 31 a.m. on the 29th. I'm going home. The defendant texts John O'Keefe, sorry, see you later at 12:55, 50 a.m. on the 29th. At 12:58, 19 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:58, 47 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 12:59, 24 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number three is left with voice.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Gilman.
John, I'm here with your fucking kids. Nobody knows
what
the fuck you want, you fucking pervert.
Wow.
Nobody knows?
At 1 a.m. 26 seconds.
Nobody
knows. She
doesn't
sound concerned about him, does she?
No, because nobody knows but me. Meaning, how does nobody know where he's at? She's not communicating with anybody. So who's nobody? Her kid, his kids that are there in the house? Of course.
They wouldn't know where he is.
They wouldn't know where he is. Nobody knows where you are. Let's broaden this base a little bit. Let's make it not just sound like, I don't know where you are. Nobody knows where you are.
Putting the blame back on him.
Back on him. Even though she doesn't know what anybody else knows. Because she hasn't talked to anybody.
Right. And they've got the proof right there. All she's doing is calling him. She hasn't been calling other people saying, have you seen John? It's just, I'm going to shit on John. Where are you? You fucking pervert.
This anger. Because I, you know, and she added that in. And it, you know, she's in that, again, think she's in this super blackout, almost drunk state. Very brownout-ish. You know, she may be kind of coming in and out of some of these thoughts, too. Where he wasn't that bad, you know? He didn't look mortally wounded, is her exact words. So you add that in too. I didn't even think to say that one earlier. So that's where she looked back, saw him maybe stumbling around thinking, oh, he's gonna go into the house or whatever. He didn't look mortally wounded.
Ouch.
Nobody knows where you are. Yeah, they sure don't. But you do.
The defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 1 a.m. 49 seconds, nobody knows the defendant calls John. Voicemail on the four is left. It's a 1 second call. No sound.
Ms. Gilman?
That was it.
Does that say your kids are fucking alone?
Cucking alone.
The defendant texts John O'Keefe, your kids are cucking alone at 1:02 a.m. on the 29th. Defendant texts John O'Keefe, I'm back in Mansfield. The kids are home alone. 1:04:14 a.m. on the 29th. At 1:10:17 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number five is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman?
Yes, 1 in the morning. I'm with your fucking niece and nephew. You fucking pervert. You're a fucking pervert.
At 1:10:44 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. At 1:12:18 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:12:46 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:13:13 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered.
She's seeming to realize that he didn't get up.
All right.
1:14:11 a.m., the defendant calls John. It's not answered. 1:14:44 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 1:16:10 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. 1:16:38 a.m., the defendant calls John. Not answered. At 1:17:37 a.m., the defendant calls John. So when voicemail six is left with voice.
Ms. Gilman.
John, I'm going home. I cannot babysit your niece. I need to go home. You are fucking using me right now. You're fucking another girl. Kim's sleeping next to me. You're a fucking loser. Fuck yourself.
Notice her tone in that. You're fucking another girl. Not, you're fucking another girl. If you're trying to tell you everything's going to be okay.
And didn't she say that somebody is sleeping next to her? So she's having this conversation.
Laying next to the niece and nephew.
Yeah. So again, where's your appropriateness? This is not some kind of conversation you need to have in front of his, basically now his kids. They're his niece and nephew, right?
Yeah. Well, that's how thoughtful Karen is.
Right. Completely inappropriate. That is not a conversation to have in front of them.
It's all about
especially
her.
If you're concerned about his welfare and where he is.
Well, she's hurt because she has to be the victim here. So we better get it clear to the kids that John's the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is bad.
Like, they don't know what's up yet, but John's the bad guy.
Yep.
It's all about her
own. He's doing this horrible thing.
It's her own, it's self-preservation. And the thing is, like, healthy brains, you'd have to, like, really think this shit through. Like, okay, if this happens, but brains like this, this is just how they operate. It's like, it's always there. It's like, it's always like, you're always trying to be aware of how you're going to be perceived and how you're going to basically play ping pong with all those balls that are flying at you with people saying, this is what I think of you. This is what I think of you. This is what I think of you. And it's just always there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, anyway, let's keep going down voicemail land. Again, all my conjecture.
There's more, right?
I have no idea what the hell's going on in her brain. This is just my wildest guess.
At 1:18:38 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. At 4:38:14 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:38:49 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:39:39 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:40:05 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:42:05 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:42, 54 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 4:45, 10 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:04, 27 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:21, 28 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:21, 58 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:23, 26 a.m., the defendant calls John. Voicemail number 7 is left with voice.
Ooh.
Ms. Kilman.
At 5:24, 27 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:25, 28 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:26, 14 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:28, 16 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:28, 43 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:29, 21 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:29, 46 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:30, 15 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:30, 52 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:31, 21 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 5:36, 29 a.m., the defendant calls John, not answered. 6:03, 02 a.m., the defendant calls John, and voicemail number 8 is left with some voice and noise and background.
Ms. Gilman, could you play that, please?
This is really showing just how chaotic that moment was. This is her with Jen McCabe.
It's a little hard to hear on my end.
It's while they're looking for John. It sounds like they're walking around a floor, so I'm guessing this might be at John's house when they were there for that moment.
I think it's a butt dial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did she say something about looking at the ground? I want to listen to this in slow motion at some point.
Yeah, unfortunately, on my end, I can't hear anything.
It's hard.
Yeah.
can hear it. The phone's up. You can hear like the brush of the fabric. This just corroborates the Jen McCabe story.
Okay.
And I forget her, the first one to testify.
We have the lights on, please. I have no further questions.
No.
Does this seem like a good time to take the lunch and recess?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go have a shot.
All right. So, folks.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Alan Jackson's like, yeah, I'm going to need a minute.
Oh, my God.
Goodness. Ouch.
People are trying to break down what they think they heard in some of that. I'm trying to find, because somebody had a clip up over here. I'm on the Twitters. And by the way, if you're on X, at Tony B as in boy pod, at Tony B pod is where you can find me and all of the stuff we're talking about here. Damn, I wish I had that. It was voicemail 5, I think they were talking about. Maybe I can just find it. Oh, it's not giving me the. All right, at 8. I am not. It go listen to it for yourself. Voicemail, I think it was 5. People are saying they can clearly hear. John, was that you? Like someone, someone's contemplating. Like, John, was that you? That was in the yard. You know, that maybe she's kind of trying to figure out, you know, what happened last night, because that happened. Like, she went to sleep for a while, came back up still drunk, and maybe just at that moment trying to get her memories back in order, and maybe not having the full memory of hitting John.
Okay,
but questioning it, John, was that you? I know we will. I'll take a listen to it, but anyone can go and take a look. I have not heard it, so I can't give an opinion on if I think that that's what she's saying. But I'm seeing several people say that that is fairly clear in the.
Goodness.
Audio. So great.
Interesting to see.
Great day in court for Karen Reed.
Or not.
She scurried out. Didn't really have much to say today either. So.
She's got to be feeling those walls closing in. I feel them closing in, and it's not my trial.
I do too.
Feel it's, very anxious for her. Like, this is just not going very well. Sorry, Alan.
If she would have just been accountable at the beginning, she'd probably be out by now.
Yeah. Yeah, this would be over.
This could have been like a 3 to 5 year thing, and probably less than that at the end of the day. Now she's,
you know, accidents happen.
Yes.
But, she could have just.
Accidents don't happen to narcissists.
No, they don't.
Again, not saying that she is. I don't know. But she's following the playbook. So, yeah. There's that.
You know, it's not okay to say, you know, I was so shit-faced drunk that I must have hit him. I shouldn't have been driving. I shouldn't have been behind the wheel of a goddamn car.
She's never said that.
No, but you know, people who admit that they've done wrong, you know, you pay your dues and you move on. It's sad. It's tragic what happened to him. But somebody did this. Somebody did this. And it would be really nice if somebody would take responsibility for it, because the guy didn't go out there and kill himself.
No.
So, ew.
You mean it wasn't like 40 plus people corroborating across various departments of government and neighborhoods and friends and people that don't even know each other, all to frame Karen Reed?
Hey, it was a long winter. What do you got to do during winter? I mean, you got to do something, right?
And they're all covering up for, again, people they don't know, several of them, all these first responders and stuff, they're covering up for people they don't know that mm-hmm. beat up the cop and then drug him to the front yard, like the dumbest yeah. place you would ever put a body of someone you just beat up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, winters are long. You know, you get cabin fever. What else are you going to do? A puzzle?
Is that what explains these people that think this, that the house story is remotely legitimate? I just don't know. Again, you can argue that she didn't know that she hit him. It's getting less and less.
I think
she clearly did.
Well, I don't know that the rational part of her brain acknowledges that. Like, she has this, to me, it feels like she's got this just weird glimmer of, I might have hit something.
But he didn't look mortally wounded. She had to tell herself he didn't look mortally wounded, and that's why she left, because she told herself he didn't look mortally wounded.
Ugh, God, I hate this story.
And so she believed it. She believed her own story. And her story turned out not to be true, because when people die, they die, and they don't really follow the rules of narcissism. So it...
Yeah, what an inconvenience.
What an inconvenience. And then she freaks out, because that's, you know, that's a narcissistic injury, and that's rage, that's everything. It's exactly what we saw.
Yeah.
And it's all over the board. And it's not, none of it's looking back, none of it's self-reflective of like, oh my God, what did I do? It's, how is everything coming at me like this? I don't deserve this. This is not fair to me. So it must be some other force out here that's doing this. It's John's fault that he was, you know, in that wrong place at that wrong time. If he hadn't upset her, if he hadn't, you know, if he hadn't just stayed in the car and, you know, scratches, you know, then he wouldn't have been out there and none of this would have happened. I fucking hate you, John. First voicemail.
You fucking pervert.
That's the next one. That's when she starts.
Oh, sorry. I got my order screwed up.
Then she starts rationalizing. Then she starts kind of going, well, he's going to stumble around out there and he's planning to go sleep with Bella's mom or some shit like that, you know, because she didn't see him go in the house. If she saw him go in the house, what is she worried about? And she's the one that's open, giving an open invite to one of his buddies to come sleep with her. That's projection. When you're the one that's doing it and you're so afraid your other person's going to do it to you because the rules don't apply to everybody else or to you, they only apply to everyone else, you're going to be paranoid of that happening. That's clearly a big thing with Karen.
Yeah.
So that starts to be rationalized in because, again, can't handle this possibility that I really did something wrong and horrible. And then she left. That's what makes it second degree murder. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's a recognition of what took place. And the law doesn't frankly care if your brain can handle that or not. Because it's just a fact.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. Who knows? But that seems to be, I think, the likely place all the chips fall in this as of right now. We'll see. There's a lot more to come. The vehicle data is going to be very interesting. That's going to show us if there's an impact. That's going to show us just how long she was there. And there's more to it because it's going into the actual Lexus system, not just the OnStar data, which was used mm-hmm. last time. So that'll be very fascinating. Press subscribe wherever you are watching or listening to us in the comment section. Let us know what you think about all this. Am I crazy? I might be. I don't know. But that's where I'm going with it. Any other thoughts are welcome. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You just made it through an episode of Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Congrats on surviving the ads. Want to skip them completely next time?
What is that?
Join the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts. Ad-free episodes, exclusive early access, and no interruptions. Just pure crime storytelling. Try it free for 3 days. Don't wait.
Bitchin' stuff, dude.
Hit subscribe now on Apple Podcasts and get ahead of the mystery.
You know what I'm saying?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.